All right, and welcome, Hoosier fans, to the second installment of the Inside Scoop with Tamar Bates, presented by our friends at Speakeasy Sales Copy, who help you drive more leads, sales, and loyalty to your business through the written word. I'm your host, Jared Morris, and today we have a special treat. I'm joined by not one college basketball player with the initials T. Bates, but two, Tamar and his brother Trey, the duo that teamed up to deliver the first and only state title for Piper High School back in 2019, are here for this one. It is good to see you both here. Thanks for making the time.
Yes, sir. Always a pleasure.
So, okay, let's get the family breakdown just to start so everybody knows. So, Trey, you're the oldest, right?
Right.
Okay, are you the oldest of all the siblings?
I am oldest of all the siblings.
Okay, so give me the whole breakdown for how it goes with the brothers and sisters.
You got Lash and A too, so you really,
well, second oldest, but he did, you know.
Yeah. So
the oldest of our parents. That's okay. Where I'm going.
Okay. Yeah, he's the oldest of the family, and then you got me. So I'm kind of like the middle. And then our two younger sisters, Trinity and Tamia.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. And Trey, give us a quick update on your basketball career, because you're entering your junior year of college now.
Yeah, well, due to COVID and everything, this is my sophomore year. So, I got my year back.
Okay. So you're third year, but your sophomore year of eligibility. Okay.
Right. Okay. Nice. Yeah, this is my second year. This is JUCO ball, JUCO basketball. Still looking to get that Division I scholarship out of JUCO. Had some setbacks my freshman year. You know, went through a couple ups and downs last year as well with COVID, and still trying to get back into the groove of things. So now I'm just out here, really locked in and trying to get to that next level, to where I should be.
Okay. And how did your season go last year? I was looking at some of your stats. It looked like about 8 points, 4 assists, shot pretty well from outside.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it was me trying to really get back into the groove of things, because after my freshman year, we came back home, not due to COVID, but due to some other decisions that I made. I had came back home a little early. So I had took my semester, my second semester was completely out of basketball and game, you know, just being game ready, and being able to play full games. It was pretty new to me. So last year, getting back into the groove of things, it was just a new atmosphere. As well as the stuff with COVID and everything, it was just, everything was pretty new. So it wasn't too bad as far as a team standpoint, but for me, it was kind of shaky. That's why I kind of said it was like ups and downs, you know, last year, because it wasn't me. It wasn't, you know, I wasn't back to myself yet and back into the groove of things. So it was just really up and down and really like nonchalant kind of basketball for me. I wasn't really into it as much as I should have been. So everything as far as the team and the coaches is great. Nothing there. It was just really personal issues with myself. That I really had to get over.
Gotcha. But fresh start, ready to hit the ground running with the new season?
Most definitely. Most definitely. Yeah.
Very nice. Good now. Wow. All right. Very good. Okay. So let's go back a little bit. I want to talk about your guys' experience playing together in high school. And let's start with a trivia question. Tamar, who scored more points in the state championship game? You or Trey?
Trey did.
Do you remember how many points? How many points did Trey score?
He had 21.
21. And how 21? Many did you have?
But, and look, I had 20, but here's the thing. I didn't.
I had more than 21.
You said what?
I had more than 21.
22?
Oh.
How many you have?
I had 23, dude.
23.
Did
my
you?
Bad. Yeah, 23. Okay. So look.
See, there was a news article I was reading. It said 21, but news articles can be wrong. I trust you, Trey. I would remember how many points I had in the championship game, so I trust Trey's memory.
I didn't play the first half. I had three fouls. I got three fouls real early, so I
came out like four.
Not in the first half.
In the first half.
In the first half.
You got the last two in the second half. I swear you had four.
No, No, I was sitting because I had three.
Okay.
I sat like the second half of the first quarter and then like the whole second quarter. So I'm just sitting there, you know, still talking, trying to give them some energy. They were playing well, but I ended the game with 20. So I was able to catch up a little bit, but we beat the snot out of them. So that was
and were the foul calls, were they legit calls or were you just amped up and playing too physical?
From me trying to remember it, I would say one of them was an actual foul call. Like it was like I actually fouled the guy, but two of them was like somebody either got like backdoored or something, and I had to like try and get over to try and prevent the bucket. Mm-hmm. And then like it was like so that was one of the ones that I know was a foul, but like the other two, I don't know. They're pretty questionable.
But you're able to come back, get back in the groove, and
yeah,
score some points and help your
team. Yeah, we got right back to it at the beginning of the second half.
Now, were you guys supposed to beat them as bad as you did? I mean, were you just clearly just by far the best team in the state, or was it just a particularly good night for you guys and a bad night for them?
I mean, in our head, we were supposed to do that to them. Like, and it was all just set up the right way. Like, it was like, you know, it was like they, yeah, like he just said, like, we just clicked at the right time. Like, that was our best game that whole year. Like, as a team. Like everybody was they had laser sharp focus on both sides of the floor. Like everybody was just locked in, like ready to get the job done. And then I can't remember, Trey, you remember when they was they played some song before the game because they locked the room. Like, we can kind of hear.
I think it was Roddy.
Yeah, it was some song, but it was like it kind of like rubbed us the wrong way. Like before we even came out of the locker room, so we was like, hold on, they gonna play that? Like they really so. Oh no, it was a lot of things leading up to it, but you know we had a good game as a team. But,
do you remember what the song was that they played?
I know it was a Roddy Ricch song.
Yeah, it was a Roddy Ricch song, but
it was a song that we played that we liked. So it was like y'all really
had already played it. I'm pretty sure, and then like because we could hear each other's music, so then they had played it. But I don't know. But no, that was a good game.
So it was disrespectful
in our eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So Trey, so talk to me about that season. Cause you were a senior on that team, right? So you're one of the senior leaders. So, you know, when you think back about that season and getting the chance to play with Tamar, did you play varsity your freshman year too? Did you guys have 2 years playing together?
Yeah. I played like the second half of the season. Cause I had a little knee injury. I was out until like January, but then when I came back, I played varsity, came off the bench. Six man action.
All right. So Trey, what was that like for you? You know, as a senior leader, and now you know your younger brother is obviously coming up and taking on an important role too. What was that like for you?
Honestly, it was extremely important that I led our team and our guys the right way, because coming up in that school, we had been to the state. Like tournament multiple years that I've been there. So seeing us not being able to get over that hump in the first round over and over again, and me, you know, I didn't have the luxury of playing varsity my freshman year. We had a lot of guys that were upperclassmen that, you know, our coaches felt those are the guys they wanted to go with. So underclassmen really didn't have a chance to, you know, get on the varsity even bench. Like we couldn't even get on the bench. So seeing that multiple times in a row in a year, and knowing the guys that we had coming in for our senior year, knowing the chemistry that we already had, because the guys that were on my team, the core, you know, we had three guys that were seniors, including myself. So just that core, as well as the juniors, as well as Tamar coming in, I knew we had a great group of guys that could, you know, get the job done. So my job coming in as a senior is just looking back and taking, you know, little things that went well, that worked for our team in the past, and things that didn't work. And our leadership role was kind of shaky. I don't know the ins and outs because, like I said, I wasn't really on varsity, but when I was on JV, I could, you know, we practiced against varsity, so I could see, you know, kind of the practices and everything that was going on. So I just took, you know, what I saw, and then from what I knew about leadership, shout out to our dad, you know, just giving us that type of knowledge. It was a no brainer for me. It was really easy. And knowing I had my right hand man next to me, I knew we both had the same mindset, came from the same bloodline. So I didn't have to worry about that part and that aspect of it. So it was basically like we had four seniors, because Scoop was another vocal leader as well. So it took a lot of weight off my shoulders at times, because when I would be out of the game or he's in the game, I know that we'd be good, because we still got, you know, a piece of, you know, my bloodline on the floor as well. So he's, you know, yeah, he got the same fire. We got the same, you know, drive and the same mental aspect when it comes to basketball and when it comes to the leadership role. So, you know, that whole season was just like, it was pretty much a breeze. Like every game was just like, it was easy. Even the games that we lost were games that, you know, we all were just like, and you could tell like we all are around each other, because the games that we won, we all played like, I won't say the same, but we played like it was a certain, it was, I don't know. It was just a certain thing that you've seen. That like our chemistry was just,
and we knew how to play to each other's strengths, basically. Yeah. Like, and yeah, like, you could see it, and we won. And like even the games we lost, we go back and we watch a film. It's like, okay, like it's like we can see why, like we basically beat ourselves most of the time. Like the games we lost, because that year we finished 21-4.
Four, yeah.
I'm thinking, I'm like, who do we even lose to?
Right.
But
we won so much. It was, oh my God.
As you may recall, Bob Knight famously said, all of us learn to write in the second grade. Most of us go on to do greater things. And Coach was right about some types of writing. But today, we're talking about copywriting, the kind of writing that drives sales and builds businesses. And as another famous IU figure, Mark Cuban, likes to point out, there is no sport as competitive as business. Which means you need a killer copywriter on your side to find your edge, dominate the competition, and rack up wins. Clay Manley from Speakeasy Sales Copy is that guy. Clay's an IU alum, a diehard basketball fan, and an award-winning copywriter whose words have been trusted by Petco, Marvel, Slim Jim, and beyond. So if your business could benefit from more engagement, leads, and sales, then check out Clay's copywriting and coaching services at speakeasysalescopy.com. And if you want to learn how to whip up your own sales winning copy without breaking a sweat, Clay has a virtual copy coaching course that is tailor-made for you. As a listener of this show, you can sample Clay's proven playbook for sales winning strategies for free. Just go to speakeasysalescopy.com/scoop to get your free copy of his Right to Sell Secrets guide. Just how winning cures all in basketball, sales cures all in business. If you want your business to have a banner year, great copy is the X factor. Go to speakeasysalescopy.com today. So, Tamar, tell me what it was like, you know, with you guys growing up. I mean, I imagine you're both basketball players, only a couple of years apart, probably some pretty spirited games in the driveway. Like, was it, and obviously there's a respect there, you know, Trey calls you his right-hand man. You guys succeeded a lot together. But what were those games in the driveway like? Was it intense competition? Was it friendly competition? Were you guys really competitive with each other, or kind of more working together? Describe that for me.
It was intense. Every game, you know, I'm trying to kill him, he's trying to kill me. And it was just like those games in the driveway, one-on-one, like playing against your big brother, where it's like he's 2 years older than me. So it's some things that I can't control. Like in terms from a strength standpoint, it's just like him knowing more than I do about the game at the time. So it was just like we would go at it. And I definitely would credit those times for why I just have like kind of like that dog mentality, or just like why, you know, I just had that will to want to get better and, you know, just to want to dominate. Cause it's like I used to get just brutally beaten. Like I'm going in the house. I'm going to the crib crying. Like he Pop's like, no, go back out there and play again. So it's like, and it was an everyday thing. So, you know, just like at some point, I'm man. somebody just called me. My phone don't do not disturb, but now look. Boom. I don't know. It was just like at some point, you know, I was just learning a lot of things about myself, and you know, it was dogfights every time. You know, as time went on, obviously I would, you know, win some more games, but you know.
How old were you the first time you won? Do you remember?
I remember.
I was going to say, I bet Trey does. Yeah.
The first time he actually beat me, and was like, it would be like kind of 50-50, like it's a 50-50 chance either one of us can win, with high school. I would say your freshman or sophomore year, it was the time you started really consistently beating me, or we started consistently having battles to where either one of us could win. It wouldn't be a blowout. It would always be a close game. One bucket, always, you know, something like that, but
always a dog fight every time.
Throughout elementary, middle school,
had no chance.
Yeah, it was over with. He couldn't. It was not a chance at all. It was just straight obliteration. It was bad.
Yeah. Right,
you know.
So, okay, so, you know, Tamar, you kind of talked about how your mentality helped develop during those games and just going through these dog fights and wanting to win. What are like one or two things that you picked up from Trey, you know, like moves that he would do that you couldn't stop that you added to your game? Is there anything particular that like when you do it, you're like, that's a Trey move?
Yes. Yeah, so I'll say the first thing like that I learned, it was just like after a certain amount of time went on, obviously I would think I know his moves. But as soon as I would think I slide to the right spot to cut him off, he got a counter. Like, it's just like he always had a counter for his counter. So it's like it was pretty hard to figure him out from a defensive standpoint, just because like when you stop one move, he got another one, then he got one more. So it's like that was one thing I learned. I mean, and I just say the other thing is just to fight to the end, you know, like don't give up. Like it ain't over till it's over, you know, because it would be times where I would be up, like we going to 12. I'm up 6-1. I'm like, oh, I got it. He scored 11 points straight, win the game. So it's like, you know, just keep fighting. You know, always, you know, stay locked in, and you know, I would say those two things are what I learned, like and take with me to this day, carry with me to this day.
Yeah. So Trey, I want to read a line from an article that I was reading about the state title game. So the author says, Piper senior Trey Bates controlled the offense and his quick first step caused problems on the perimeter. He was repeatedly able to get space from his defender with a decoy move, then use the space for a step back jumper or to find a teammate streaking to the basket. So where did you learn that? Is that just something you developed in the driveway? Did you learn some of that stuff from your dad? And did you teach Tamar those moves, the step back in particular?
I'm not sure where it actually came from. I would probably have to say my dad. I honestly don't understand how I can see that, you know, see those type of things or have like counters, like how Tamar said, it would all have to be from my dad, because once you learn the fundamentals, once you master that, you can literally do anything else after that. Like the fundamentals is a extremely important piece to the game of basketball. Like, and you hear the greatest athletes say it, from Mike to Kobe. Like, the fundamentals is something that you have to literally master in order for you to branch off and be able to do other things. So I would have to give that credit to my father. Like, as far as anything else, though, I don't know. It's probably from just watching basketball. I can easily pick up on things if I watch any move, anybody. If I watch YouTube videos, if I watch a highlight reel, you know, and I see a move, you know, I can look at it a couple times, mimic it, go out and just do it, and it just come up like while I'm playing. And I don't know how. I don't know if I have, you know, photographic memory, or I don't know. I'm not sure what it is, but like I was just always able to pick stuff up like quickly when I see it. Didn't have to work on it. Like I don't have to work on ball handling skills, like ball handling drills, like, because I've done it so many times just fundamentally, you know, from my past. Like Tamar will tell you, like, our dad literally had a basketball clinic. We had a bat, like, we literally did straight fundamental work. Like, that's all a practice. Like, the beginning of the practice will literally just be fundamental work. I mean, passing basketballs off the wall, cone drills. We had goggles to where we could not see.
So you can't look down. You can't look at the ball.
Like, you can't see anything. Like, he really put us through everything, as well as our peers and, you know, and people around us that was on our team. We all went through that, you know, fundamental cycle to where after this, I mean, you could do whatever. Like, so I really have to give the credit to my dad. Like, the fundamental piece, he was spot on with that. Like, he could literally teach you everything that you would need to know about the fundamental side of basketball. And I mean,
now what levels did he coach you guys at? When was he actually your coach?
We were younger.
Like, ball. I started playing at three, and he wasn't my first coach. It was another guy that we know. That was my very first coach. But after that, he was my coach for about, I want to say, four or five more years after that, because I think we were still in elementary. So I would say the majority of it was elementary. And then once I got to fifth grade?
That was fifth, because I was in third. I was in third grade.
Yeah, fifth grade and on. I mean, that's when he kind of, you know, let us be coached by other people. But that whole upbringing part was all him. You know, that fundamental side and all that was all our pops.
I feel like all dads, you know, who coach their sons or have sons who are athletes, you know, have a few things that they kind of like harp on and probably, you know, remind their sons and daughters of. Tamar, like, what are the things when your dad's voice is in your head about basketball? What are the things that he's saying to you, you know, from those times when you're growing up learning the fundamentals?
Well, after the fundamentals, like after the offensive side of the game, what we hear the most is something about defense. You have to be hard. Like, and obviously, like at the college level, I'm learning things every day, like about guarding. But, you know, with just from when I first started playing with him, like all defense, like that's what wins championships. Like he played in the men's league. The team was called DWC, Defense Wins Championships. Like he was big on that. And then now, you know, as we get older, what he preaches the most about is just taking care of our body. Like, he sent me and Trey a massage gun, and like, you know, and but aside from that, like every time he called, was you in there with TG? Trey, whatever, you know, whoever his trainer is, you know, just making sure that we recover in the right way, because, you know, he know how hard we work. So we got to, you know, give something back to our body. But, you know, defense and now taking care of our body, those are two things that I can hear him saying all the time.
I'm guessing he and Coach Woodson get along pretty well then with that defensive focus.
Yeah.
What about for you, Trey? Do you remember the first time you beat your dad? Because that's always a big kind of rite of passage for a son to finally beat their dad out on the driveway.
Those are some funny battles. I think, I don't know if it was when we were all outside school, like playing 21 or something.
Yeah, we played 21 all the time. I mean, he'd come out there and cook.
What?
He'd come out there and cook.
He would kill us. Like, he would do some Michael Jordan stuff. Like, I'm a score right there. I'm like, what? How am I not stopping this dude? Like,
he thought he was Michael Jordan. When we was little, he thought he was Michael Jordan. He would literally, he'd be at the top of the key. I'm going to that elbow. He'd take two dribbles left, between one more pull up at the elbow. Knockdown.
Wow.
So he could shoot it.
Yeah. Mid-range assassin.
Mid-range assassin. Jordan stuff. MJ didn't shoot a lot of threes. He didn't have to. He shot mid-range and got to the rim. That's exactly what my dad did. The same exact stuff. But the first time I would think would be probably playing a game of 21. Just all three of us and me just winning that, you know, those games in 21. And he would be the one trying to guard both of us. So I would kind of say that would be the game that I won one-on-one. But I mean, Scoop was there, and he witnessed, you know, a lot of it. I do remember the first time I made him fall. Hilarious. That was funny. That was hilarious. Oh, my goodness.
When you made him fall?
Like,
made him fall.
Touch earth. Touch the ground.
Yeah. I crossed the
I ain't even gonna out him like that. I ain't even gonna do him like that. We'll just leave it at that. I ain't even gonna.
I just had to put that little footnote in there though, because that was fun.
We'll have to get your dad on here to defend himself here on one of these episodes.
There's nothing he can say.
He will defend himself.
But there's nothing he can say about that. There's nothing he can say about that though. Like it's like you got dropped. That's it.
Who dropped him too? I'll just put that in there too. We both got our revenge. That's all I'm saying. That's why I'm putting that in there.
For all them times that he was just killing us, we got our revenge.
Yeah,
I know the dads have such an advantage for a long time because they've got that old man strength, you know, and it just takes a while to catch up. But then eventually you catch up and you get your revenge, as you said. So, Trey, let me ask you this, because I imagine no one knows Tamar's game inside and out like you do from just all the time that you guys have spent playing together. So let me ask you two questions about his game. First one, let's say that you were a coach and Tamar was on your team. What are some of the things that you would set up offensively to take advantage of Tamar's strengths?
One first thing, and I would assume anybody would do this, is getting him off of a lot of pin down screens, a lot of back screens, any type of screens to get him open for a shot. Hands down, no brainer. I'm giving him the ball for that.
Any particular places on the floor?
Oh, the 3-point. Oh my goodness. 3-point shot, for sure. Like, the mid-range and everything, he could do that off the dribble. So, you know, I guess you could say the second thing would just be a lot of ball screen action. He's a great decision maker, and he could kill you from the three. If you go under, you're dumb. So, I mean, that's dumb. Don't do that. But if you go over it, I mean, he's a bigger guard, so he can get into you, get downhill, you can pull up. Or he could you know, dish it off to a big, throw a lob, anything like that. So, you know, it would have to be just like the pin downs and the ball screens, kind of a little like Curry setup. Just getting him running off a lot of screens, honestly, because guys won't be able to keep up with him as much either. Because I mean, he's a bigger guard. So like, even if they are behind him or whatever or whatnot, if he stops and goes, I mean, you're toast. And the screen is set right. You can't do anything about it. So that would be the two things, I think, honestly, would just be a lot of pin downs, a lot of back screens, and just ball screen action.
Okay. Now the flip side. Say you were coaching against Tamar's team. What would you do to frustrate him and stop him?
Honestly, I would have a double on the double team.
I would say all that. Probably.
What?
I would say all that.
That's me. That's not you. That's not you trying to frustrate you. That's me trying to. That's me as a coach and officer. That's what I would do. Not you. Yeah. Me? I would have to.
Yeah.
Once he gets going, it's over with. And tomorrow, you know, everybody knows. Now about how Scoop's energy is. Once he gets going, once he's locked into the game, like one defender, if he's already known that he's killing you, you're non-existent on the floor. He's just playing four other guys now. So I would have to put two to frustrate him. It would have to be two people. I can't.
At that point, I'm playing against the help side.
Yeah, it's right, not.
I'm playing against it because I'm by you classic.
Yeah, you don't even. You don't see you anymore. Like, there's no reason for me to just let that one guy continue to get killed. That's going to frustrate me as a coach. I'm not trying to get frustrated. I got to coach the rest of the team. I got to put two people on him. If he's going crazy, we're not going to start the game off with two people, though. We're not going to start the game off with two people. Nah, we're going to start off with one.
In high school, that's how like it would be like with me and Trey. Like, we would literally, like, just switch possessions. Like, if he gets a cougar, go ahead. No, kill him. Go get you one. And he swing it to me. And now, like, let's say he just hit a little got downhill, stop on a dime, knockdown. Then hit a spot up three. Some coach drew up. Now he giving it to me. I'm coming off a ball screen. You put a ball for him. That's another one. So, like, we basically playing cat and mouse with everybody. But it's a different type of feeling when you get to play with your brother. Like, it's like, and it's like you guys can we could talk to each other a different way just because like we live with each other, we're with each other every day, and we've known each other our whole lives. So it's like we know what buttons to push. We don't really need to find out anything else about each other because we know everything about each other. So it was like, it was an unbelievable experience. Like, and winning, sending him out like that, sending him out on top the right way, that was most important to me. Like, if we would have went back to back and would have been able to play, finish out that next year, that would have been fine. But I was all good with the championship with him. Like I was straight.
The Inside Scoop is also supported by Future Freedom, an online education library that will give you the latest thinking on how to build an exceptional business and lifestyle by embracing change instead of dreading it. As you may have noticed, the future is coming at us faster than ever. That means accelerated change and disruption. It's easy to understand why that makes many people fearful, but as a source of opportunity, nothing beats change. With artificial intelligence and other emerging technologies threatening both the quality and quantity of traditional jobs, you need to think about how to make technology work for you instead of you working for it. At Future Freedom, my business partner, serial digital entrepreneur Brian Clark, the founder of Copyblogger, Unemployable, and Further, introduces you to our personal enterprise approach to succeeding in the emerging creator economy with his brand new free course. These 5 free lessons will empower you to create your ideal future on your terms. Why it's time to think differently about your career. How a personal enterprise builds progressive wealth. The art of anticipatory thinking. How to build the base of your personal enterprise. And finally, how to unretire and travel the world. To get started with this free course today, go to assemblycall.com/FF. That's assemblycall.com/FF. That link will redirect you to Future Freedom, where you can sign up in one step. Full disclosure, I am part owner of Future Freedom, so if you want to see what I'm up to when I'm not obsessing over IU basketball, here's your chance. Once again, it's assemblycall.com/FF. What's the best game that you guys ever played together? The championship was the most important. But just the game when you were the most in sync, the most kind of on fire together, the most dominant. Is there anyone that sticks out?
I think it would have to be the what was it? Honestly, I feel like it's the whole DeSoto tournament.
Oh, my. But we ended,
we ended up losing that
we lost in the championship. But that was one of our losses that year. Yeah. We lost in the championship.
Yeah, we shouldn't have lost it. It was both. Credited to me and Scoop because we both missed free throws.
Yeah,
that same night, we got off the bus, stayed in the gym because we live right around the corner from the school. So you know, staying in the gym and you know getting
2 more hours was not a problem. Yeah, we stayed in there. It was tough. It was like we were down. What was we down when you went to the line too?
Yeah.
I think we was down 2 or 3. He went to the line. He missed both. So I'm like, but then we got to stop. We scored. Now we down 1.
Yeah.
So now they coming back. We get another stop. They fouled me. So I'm like, oh, that's game. Like, it's over with. And it was like, what, like, how many seconds left on the clock? Like, 2 seconds left on the clock? I'm like, all right, that's game. Like, it's over with. We won. I go to the line. Who's the first one? Hit the backboard. Pop out. I'm like, okay.
Oh, no.
No. So I'm like, okay. Overtime. That's fine. We can go to OT.
Yeah.
Shoot the second one, same thing. That was tough. And that was definitely – that's something that I will never forget.
Yeah.
But, as soon as we got off the bus, we was in the gym. We was there, like, stealing our jumpsuits. But we ended up changing because we was sweating so much, but – we in there for 2 more hours. We both made probably 200 free throws, and then we just worked out after. But that was definitely something that that tournament was pretty good for both of us, offensively and defensively.
Oh my God,
that was
one of the first tournaments that we had that season, was it? That was the first tournament.
Game. Because we always play in DeSoto after the first game of the year.
Right. Yeah. We would have to have been there. That was really when we was playing cat and mouse with people. And that was just, oh my God. the first two teams we played, we obliterated. It was they couldn't do anything. So
yeah. I think it probably says something about you guys and why you've been so successful in your basketball career that I asked you for the best moment and you immediately went to this kind of gnawing moment of failure that clearly is still very raw that you haven't gotten past.
Yeah.
So, and how you handle it, you know, going in and shooting the free throws and trying to do whatever you could to not let that happen again. So let me ask you this. We just got done with Hoosier Hysteria. Trey, were you able to come in to Bloomington for Hoosier Hysteria? Because I saw your dad post. It looked like a lot of the family was there.
Yeah, I was probably the only one that was not there. And it's going to be kind of tough for me to be able to make games and stuff because tomorrow and I play games and stuff pretty much like the same days. So it's going to be hard for me to kind of make games. As far as, you know, if they end up making it to the tournament, which I presume that they will, and my team doesn't, which I presume that we will as well, because, you know, we're pretty good. If we don't, then I'll be able to make some March Madness games and some tournament games, which would be the game that I would like to see the most, honestly. I'll be able to catch all of his games as far as the TV broadcast and everything. I'll be able to see those games, but actually being there, I won't be able to make as many season games.
Yeah. And what are your future goals with your basketball career, Trey? I mean, I assume you're, as you said earlier, you know, working to get up to the D1 level. You know, what goals do you have moving forward for the rest of your career?
Honestly, I need to take this year and this time to, you know, blow the academic side of being a student athlete. I need to get that part under control and make sure I'm, you know, continue to lock in on that side. So, you know, receive my associate's degree first and foremost. And then honestly I'm taking it, you know, baby steps, one step at a time and tackling everything one step at a time. So after I, you know, get this whole academic piece handled, I plan to win a national championship here, JUCO national championship here. And after that, you know, all the accolades that I want personally will come after the team accolades, you know, because once, you know, if you win, everybody wins. So there's no reason for me to, I don't have any, like, I have personal goals, but that's not what's on my mind. So, like, especially with me being a point guard, I have to look at my team first. So it's not even about me. And I feel like me, you know, helping lead our guys to winning as much as we can and getting as far in the tournament as we can to potentially win that championship. All my personal goals will be fine. As well as getting recruited, you know, to get into another school, all that stuff will take care of itself. We just came from a Dallas Jamboree where it was a ton of coaches in the building. So my head coach's phone has been ringing nonstop. So about guys. And so I'm not really worried about, you know, personal goals and accolades. I mean, as long as we win, I know I'll be fine. And as long as I do my part in the classroom, I'll be fine. So that those are the two things. It's just winning as a team and then winning for me on the academic side. I'm not really worried about everything else as far as personal accolades, you know, like I said, for the basketball side, because that'll take care of itself.
Yeah. I know we're coming up on time, but tomorrow I want to ask you one more question. You know, my wife and I just had our second child and he's like 8 months. So, I mean, he's really young, but I can just see already, you know, having an older sibling to look up to, how much quicker he's able to do stuff and just be exposed to stuff.
Yeah.
What's it been like for you having an older brother, and especially an older brother who's walking a similar path to you playing college basketball? What's that been like, and what are some of the most important lessons that you've learned?
Well, you know, growing up, it was really just like I was able to experience like more things that I was experiencing with Trey was 2 years ahead of like where I was supposed to be developmentally. So I would just say like I grew up a little faster than I probably needed to, just because I was always around older guys. Like up until fifth grade, I was playing up with Trey's team, like whatever team he was on. I was a young guy, didn't really get in, but you know, just being around older guys, you know, I definitely grew up a little faster than I needed to. But I mean, I really just say some of the stuff that I learned. I mean, just to the people, or the biggest thing was just like the mistakes that, you know, those before you make, don't make that same mistake. Don't do that. Like if you see that, you know, somebody did something that had them end up in the place they didn't want to be, just do the opposite of that. And, you know, obviously, you know, just carrying that every day has, you know, helped me get to where I am now. So that's definitely the biggest lesson, just like learning from others' mistakes, you know, before I even had a chance to make it.
Yeah. You know, obviously, you know, stuff gets more complicated once you get outside of high school and that kind of thing. But do you guys ever talk about teaming up again?
Every day.
Back?
Yeah. All the time. Like we talk about it like before I even committed to a college. We like, yeah, like if school can, you know, get Trey, like offer him a scholarship, then I'm all for it. Cause like we know, you know, we bring the best out of each other, on and off the court. So, you know, that's definitely something that I would love to do again.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking forward to, honestly. I mean, if the opportunity presumes itself, y'all might see me in Bloomington. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
If it presumes itself.
And that's 100. It's 100. Not even gonna sugarcoat it.
Not at all. Heard it here first.
That would be pretty cool to see. I have to say, especially hearing you guys talk about what it was like playing together, you know, and there's something to be said for having that kind of chemistry, you know, especially in a backcourt. So that's great. Well, Trey, you know, I hope you get a chance to get to Bloomington and take in a game there. Obviously, Tamar, you had your first experience, you know, somewhat with what Hoosier Hysteria can be like, you know, with the event coming up, but that's nothing quite like a game. But, you know, looking forward to following your season this year, Trey. And where can people keep up with you? Are you active on social media?
Oh yeah, Instagram, Twitter. So I'm not as active on Twitter, but I do have one. And then those are pretty much the
but on IG. Make sure I go give him a follow.
Yeah, what's your Instagram handle?
It's Trey X Bates.
Trey X Bates. Okay. We'll put that in the show notes. Make sure people go there.
All right.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, guys, I appreciate your time. Trey, good luck this upcoming season. Tamar, obviously, good luck to you. And we'll be talking to you again soon. Are there any stories or anything that we didn't get to yet that folks just need to know about what it was like for you two guys growing up?
But one on my mind, just because I keep thinking about state championship run like that. That whole, because like even like after the game, they were interviewing us and they told us a stat. They was like, Piper hasn't won a first round game since 2006, and this was in 2019. This was in 2019.
Yeah,
but just like that whole run was magical for real. Because like the first game we played, kind of like what you could call a rival school called Parsons, and with like a minute and a half to go, we were losing. Like we was like, well, I think it's about to
happen.
We was trying to stay away from that mentally. Like, I think it's about to happen again. Yeah. One of our bigs, we got to give him credit. Like he brought everybody in. He was like, hey, we are not losing this game. Like he looked everybody in their face. And was like, and I don't know, like they missed a few free throws. And we converted on the other end, and then like they just tried to play the foul game to the end, and then we won that. And then the second game, best game of the year, We were the 4 seed that year. We were playing the 1 seed, so obviously people think we don't have no chance. Like they think, you know, the Wichita Trinity is going to go to the championship, but you know they came out first quarter. The guy that on our scouting report was a shooter. He hit like 4 threes in the first quarter, just booming it. So we down like 6 going to the second. And then, you know, obviously back and forth, we ended up taking the lead going into halftime. And then I'll let Trey tell the rest of the story, because he had probably one of the bigger plays of our season.
Second half, we it's pretty much kind of the same thing going back and forth. I don't know what happened in the fourth. I don't know the
we pulled away a little bit. We pulled away a little bit.
Yeah, okay. We did pull away. Then they ended up coming back, and I ended up fouling a guy at the 3-point line.
We were up three.
We pretty much had the game sealed. Pretty much had it in the bag. It was over with.
Tamar, by the way, in Indiana, we call that a Dane Fife. I don't know if Coach Fife has told you about that, but you got to ask him.
Ask him. They was up three.
Ask Coach Fife about it.
I'm gonna talk to him about it today.
We'll go ask him about that. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, Trey. Sorry.
You're good. I ended up fouling the guy. He ate a great little pump fake and he jumped into me. Thankfully, he missed the three. But they ended up going to the line. He knocked all three down, right?
Yep, made all three, tied it up.
Timeout, coach calls timeout. Go to the huddle. Our shooter, our wing at the time, looks me in the face and is like, I'll be ready. Like, pass me the ball, I'll be ready. Like, I'm going to knock it down. Just telling me that over and over again. Now, me as a senior guard, I'm thinking in my head, like, do I want to trust the junior with our whole, future and everything? Or do I want to take it in my hands and just seal the game for us? Because I could have easily gotten a easy bucket, a quick bucket. We had, maybe 6 seconds?
I remember the whole set.
It was like five seconds.
Yeah, because Trey was kind of on the heater that game. So he had our shooter take it out. He gave it to Trey, and he was like, because he knew like that as Trey crossed half court, they would start sending two at him. And we had our shooter trailing. So Trey's dribbling up, just, little slight cadence. Shooter, he NBA range. Trey swinging to him.
NBA range.
Swinging to him. Knockdown for the win. They rushed the court. That was a great moment. So then, with that momentum leading into the championship game, Augusta had no chance. They had no chance.
It was over with.
So that moment you just talked about, you realize you basically just described the end of the movie Hoosiers, right? Have you seen Hoosiers tomorrow?
I don't remember that was Hoosiers. I was meant to be a Hoosier.
Exactly. In the huddle, Jimmy Chitwood, who's the shooter, he looks at the coach and says, I'll make it, just like your guy said. So they ran the play. He shoots it, makes it. The crowd goes crazy. Now, that's the end. That's the state title game. It's not the, it's not in the middle of the tournament.
The semifinal.
But watch that movie again. Look at it in the context of that moment. It may remind you of that moment, because that's what I was thinking about as you're telling that story.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Of course it was destined.
Yeah.
Of course it was. Well, guys. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Tamar.
I'm just saying, like, coach planted me in the corner. So his name Ty Shelley. He said he was serious. So he said, I'm gonna knock it down. Like, I'm like, you got it. Knock it down there. Like,
I had to trust him with everything in me too. It was so tough, but I was like, I trusted him so much because he's our shooter, and he said that. So I'm like, okay, let me try it. Let me go ahead. I'll put the ball in his hands.
If he missed, we go to overtime. We win it in OT. But
I wasn't even tripping about it. So I'm like, you know what? We give it to him. Let me be a real point guard. I'm not gonna be selfish. At the moment, it's not about me. Let me go ahead and give it to my shooter. Knocked it down. Everything. And his dad even came over and congratulated and thanked me for giving him the ball. I'm like, hey.
They probably was gonna call it back, because as soon as he made it, our dad ran on the court.
Man, right on the court.
If you watch the video, I send you the video after this. You watch the video. As soon as he made it, you see our dad running on the court like this with his hand up,
with his phone and everything. Tapping me up. Oh my God!
Great moment.
It was too bad.
That's great.
I'm gonna play Ty on Saturday, or I'll see him playing. We got our jamboree at Pratt. His team gonna be there, so get to see him again.
Well, good for him, man. If you're gonna go out on a limb and say it, and say you're gonna make it, you better step up and make it. And he did. That's awesome.
Right. Big time.
That is awesome. Well, guys, thanks for your time. I know we went a little bit long, but I really appreciate it. This is a great conversation. It's great to hear, learn more about your background tomorrow. Great to hear about your story as well, Trey. So looking forward to following your season. You guys have a great weekend. Awesome talking to you.
Yes, sir. You too.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Cool. Take care, guys.
Yep.